Okay, cool.
Go.
All right.
Oh, man.
Well, I think that before we get too far, we should say who's here. I'm Austin Fury.
Wait, we haven't said hi, welcome to Flight Test.
I don't think we do that.
Is that the videos?
I think that's the videos. Once you do a couple, once you get a couple under your belt, you'll kind of get into the flow.
What number are we into? We stopped also saying how many. This is podcast number.
This is podcast number 56, maybe?
No.
56, I think.
Really?
Yep.
I thought it was 57.
Maybe it's 57.
I thought it was 58.
Really?
You guys are on drugs.
We're in the 50s?
It's hard to say.
It's huge.
Yeah, we're definitely over a year.
Totally derailed you from introducing ourselves. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I already said who I am, so.
Are you scratching your eye with the pop filter?
No, I was seeing it. You can look through the pop filter.
We get pop filters. I see you over there rubbing your eyeball against it.
My name is Alex Zavada.
And my name is Peter Schriepel.
And I am Josh Bixler.
Schriepel for the people.
Schriepel.
Shut up, all of you.
You hate it when we say that, huh?
It's such a slogan.
You know what? We could honestly get Peter to be the president of AMA just by that slogan right there.
Schriepel for the people.
Schriepel for the people.
That would be his campaign slogan.
I know.
So today we have very
you
special...
Get AMA. You get AMA.
Everyone gets AMA. So we have a very special non-Oprah edition of
non-Oprah
our podcast.
Non-Oprah edition, yes.
Actually, we have a special guest, Daniel from RC Test Flight.
Yeah, Daniel, he's on here. No way.
And Peter is just geeking out.
Peter, you love Daniel, don't you?
Actually,
yeah, I've been following him for like forever.
In the interview, they confess their love for each other.
So
shut up, Alex.
Basically,
no, it's not nice to say shut up. Please be quiet.
Peter and Daniel have had a lifelong internet friendship, and so it was cool for them to get to connect over the podcast. And
if they ever get in the same room together, we cannot have it be on work time. So,
wait, what if we're doing work? Huh? We're building airplanes and
insurance, man. The deductible on that would just be insane.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, we got to keep it unofficial recreation time.
Exactly.
Recreation time. I like
homeowners kicks in.
So I was thinking, just real quick before we roll the interview, we were doing some interesting things today.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, Josh, if it's too early to talk about it or not.
No.
But feel free to talk about what you were up to today.
Feels really good to talk about now that we know it actually worked, right?
Yeah, exactly. Proof of concept.
All right, so this is a rocket powered. No, I'm just kidding.
What? What?
Got you
this
all
is news to me. Liar.
Everybody put your phones away.
I know, everyone, no phone time. We're getting closer and closer to launching FT Connections, mm-hmm. and we wanted a couple planes that served a lot of purposes. And a lot of requests have been to have a free flight. A check lighter, you know, do you have any check lighters? And Dave Knopp is a really great guy. He's our head of a production here. But we are going back from Joe Knoll, and he mentioned that it'd be really cool to have something that was very easy to build but used every one of the techniques that we use on all of our planes. So finally finished off a drawing, and we got to test it today. And it kind of goes through the mini format. So this can be a check lighter, but then also can be obviously radio controlled and also a motor glider. So we got to test it in a very unique way. We were playing catch, having our sports moment this morning. And by the way, you guys are amazing at throwing, a lot better than I am.
It's all jocks here.
Holy cow, yes.
Actually, a bunch of jocks.
And you know what, you don't want to throw.
I think I threw my arm out.
The rotator cuff injury.
Something
made a noise.
Injury. Feels like it's going to fall off.
We were playing catch in the morning as a free flight, and then we threw servos in it and were flying as a glider, and then Peter used his mini cargo to haul it up and had a lot of fun antics with that, and then we just threw a motor on it, and it flew really good. So that'll be coming soon. We're going to, on our trip leaving next week, we're going to shoot some footage with it, and we're going to build it with 50 kids. And where is it going to be? I think it's in Georgia.
Yeah, Georgia.
Going to a school.
So a lot of people I saw for, like, the Mighty Mini requests were requesting a mini Simple Soar.
Yes.
So I think that this kind of fits that bill
fits a little bit.
This is very similar to the Simple Soar.
Yeah.
It actually has a little bit better penetration. You notice that?
Mm-hmm.
It steers a little bit better and has better penetration. So.
Well, one of the easiest to fly planes that I've ever flown is the Micro Radian.
Yeah.
And so I was telling you that the only problem with the Micro Radian is I did get a little bored with it.
Yeah.
And so it'll be nice to have something that flies a little bit more aggressively but has a similar characteristics to the Micro Radian. So.
We need to get the power pod right now. It looks like when you put the motor on it, it looks like it has nostrils. So
yeah.
It has a real funny nose. That probably didn't help because, Peter, we put googly eyes on it.
Yes, googly eyes.
Really completed the picture. But we'll figure out a really cool way to add the motor to it. But I'm excited. Mm-hmm. What I envisioned and what impacted me when I was young before I could fly RC, dad would toss me kits that oftentimes came with his RC kits. And, you know, I would build right next door to my dad, and he'd have this beautiful wing. And it was just like the picture on the box. It was really cool. So this will be a good opportunity to repeat that.
That's exciting.
Yeah, good stuff.
So I guess we could also say, since this just happened, people that are interested in things related to DJI, we may or may not have ordered a DJI product review today, which...
My credit card is crying. Actually, my credit card didn't work.
Yeah, actually, my credit card is the one that's crying. So it may start with an I.
I don't
might
have a
end
credit
with
card.
A 1.
Or Inspire. I mean, start with an I and end with an Inspire.
Starts with an N, ends with a Spire 1.
So we're going to do a... just lost my puff filter. We're going to do a very... candid review of the Inspire 1.
Very thorough, candid review. And from what I understand, we'll be one of the first ones to get it, huh?
Yeah, it's looking that way. So
I'm a little sour grapes, actually, about the Inspire, because we actually contacted DJI to ask them, you know, to hook us up, you know, and you know, we'd love to do a review on it. And they were kind of hesitant about us flying it, weren't they?
Actually, they contacted us.
Oh, did they?
I think so.
Oh, was it the Team Pilot thing, that email?
I forget. Yeah, I forget how it came about, but
it became very clear very quickly that they wanted someone demonstrating it for us on our channel. Something's wrong with the picture where it's good for everybody, but they don't want us touching it. Maybe they saw Peter flying and some of the rocket power antics we do, but
yeah, that's just not really what we do. We like to be hands-on and try stuff ourselves. So figured we'll just order one, and if we don't have much use for it when we're done, we'll sell it.
We'll sell it. But it's going to be kind of cool. The little transformation thing.
I think it'll be really good, though, because there's a lot of interest and a lot of hype on it, and I think it'll be cool for people to see just a candid, hands-on, you know, because we're not exactly, like, you know, professional aerial photography pilots or anything like that, so, like, it'll be cool just to get, like, an inside look to it, just from a normal perspective.
Yeah, because I have a pretty good feeling that, not all, but I would imagine there's a handful of people out there who aren't in the hobby, have a pocket full of cash... And we'll end up buying this as their first platform. As much as I hate to say it, it probably will happen. So
we should get Josh Scott. To fly it. Dead serious. We should have
just drop it off at his house.
Just drop it off. Just have good it shipped luck. To him.
Make sure you film it.
Yeah. Well, and I think we're gonna have Eric, because Eric actually that's what he does as a living, as he does multi rotor you know, footage. So we'll get Eric's take on it too, and see if it meets the par. And
there's a lot of aspects of DJI that Eric really likes too. Yeah. So he's very familiar with the company and the technology, and so it'll be cool to get his input.
Yeah.
But yeah. So hopefully you guys can take that on your road trip with you.
That'll be cool.
Get some B-roll footage of awesome things.
And speaking of aerial platforms, we actually just did another one on the new Blade, the 350QX AP. Version 3 AP.
Or you got that right the first time.
It took me.
Are you serious?
Took me a while.
You weren't dead on.
I was off.
It's 350 AP.
No, 350 QX3 AP. There you go.
Third try.
Holy cow.
We got it the third
try.
Well,
it is the third rendition, so there you go.
That's why they call it the QX3, because it takes three times to say it.
Third time's a charm.
But anyways, it's a quadcopter from Horizon.
Yeah.
And it has a 3-axis gimbal.
Amazing.
Quite a bit cheaper than its competitors, both Phantom and the Inspire, and some of the other things, like even from like 3D Robotics with similar features.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. And it's got its own little proprietary gimbal. What's it called, Peter? The Seago
3? Seago 2. I forgot that one. I just don't know. Names, sorry, guys.
Their names on this thing are a little bit of a mouthful.
Yeah,
but
it's too much.
It's because they're too good of products.
Sure.
But actually, the camera worked really, really well. It was pretty cool because it had like GoPro clarity. But it didn't have the GoPro distortion from the super fisheye, which is pretty cool. And the gimbal worked phenomenally.
Mm-hmm.
It was funny because it's a little tiny, you know, it kind of looks like a Phantom. I mean, it's a white plastic quad. And when you fly it through the air, it has all the automation, so auto level and stuff like that. And I was cranking on the sticks, and the quad looked like it was like a...
Really is having a seizure.
It looked like a drunk drone flying through the air.
Trying to figure out what you were doing.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I was really skeptical at first because I saw the way that I was flying it. And it was just so erratic. We bring it back and we put the footage in. We start watching it. Yeah. The footage, you can't even tell.
It was ridiculous.
Occasionally you'll see a boom pop into the frame and then pop back out. But the gimbal compensated for everything. everything. It was pretty crazy.
Tell me the truth. Did you feel like, I felt like a total noob because we fly multirotors all the time.
It was definitely out of our wheelhouse. Yeah. It was a different experience of flying. Not to say that it's bad. It's just not what we're used to.
Yeah.
I think it would be a little bit more intuitive for somebody who doesn't have any experience flying multirotors. Because there's quite a bit of automation. It's putting a lot of inputs into it.
It's easy for me to say because I don't have to fly them, but like I think it's good to get as wide a range of experiences as possible. And this is definitely something different for us.
Yeah.
But I think as far as like user friendliness goes, that sort of thing, it's right up there with any of those other similar competitor quotes.
Yeah, and I enjoyed it too
for $999. So it's $1,000.
Looks right up to your iPhone or your iPad.
We put, what, 5 batteries through at least through that thing?
More than that because I flew it at the indoor thing with the carrier.
Oh, yeah.
That was sketchy.
We had some gnarly hits and tumbled the thing a couple times, and everything performed really good.
Yeah, skidded it across the concrete. Yeah.
That was a good crash.
And it didn't break. I was so surprised.
It was like a power slide on its face. It's like screeched to a halt.
It was funny, though. I realized it's a whole different world, like capturing images and beautiful photography shots and cinematographic shots. It's different than chasing after something.
What we do, we just like go as fast as we can and chase after a plane and try to touch it.
Well, the... what we were doing for like an hour, we were doing like a car chase type deal with the AP to see how it would look. And I'm watching this thing, and I was driving the chased car for the car we were chasing.
And this is all on a private road, actually, Austin's gigantic driveway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was just like, there's no way this footage is going to turn out. I was like, we're going to pull this up. There's no chance.
Yeah.
I was like, but we pulled it up, and it was solid. Yeah. It was locked in out of the box. Like, that's pretty impressive to have locked in footage out of the box.
Just if you're flying on a long driveway like that in a vehicle, don't take off in GPS mode because there's a 300 foot perimeter thing where it won't go 300 feet beyond where it took off. So we were going and we were in front and I was flying backwards. With the quad filming the car behind us, just kind of backing it up, and then all of a sudden it just stopped, and the car was coming right at it. So I was like, we'll go that way. Let's try going left, and it went left a little bit and barely missed the car. It almost got ran over by a Mustang.
It is a different world, but I have a good feeling that like if someone like Josh Scott got it, he could fly it very easily. He did really good when we did the APM 2.5 on the H-Quad, had no problems. I think this would be something very similar for that.
Well, I think that would be great to get him in the episode.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, like, back when I was just watching the video today, when Dave Knopp did the Parrot.
Yeah.
Like, the Bebop. Yeah. You know, it's amazing. Like, they do make that. For people that just want to get in the air and take nice photos and a good video,
yeah,
it's really come a long way where you can throw it up in the air and just go.
Dave, with that Bebop video, he schooled us all. He did the best by far out of all of us. He had a whole bunch of different people, different model skills, and he picked it up, and it was very intuitive for him.
I think that says a lot about the demographic that companies like DJI with their Phantom and the Blade 350 QX3 and a lot of those other companies are going for. They're going for a demographic of people who have no experience at all and just want to get something that flies a camera around and takes a good picture.
We're going to be going to the foothills of South Carolina to do the tricopter episode. We're releasing the tricopter.
Tough tilt.
Yep. And we're going to be shooting down there, but I'm eager because supposedly, from what I understand, there's an anti-flyaway mode on the Horizon Q350.
Oh, nice.
And with the mountains and everything being around there, it gets really sketchy, so I'm looking forward to seeing how that works. Because basically, if you lose GPS signal and it gets crazy, it automatically detects that and takes it out of GPS mode.
Yeah, we already shot some content on the Blade, but we're going to do a little bit more just because, like we said earlier, we're not experienced when it comes to aerial photography. Like we said, we chase stuff and we do stuff for the show, but true aerial photography and cinematography is, you know, full gimbal, full GPS. You're carrying a rather large camera. Getting that good cinematographic shot, something like you'd see in a movie. So we're going to get Eric Monroe, who actually has quite a bit of experience to fly that thing around.
That's great.
On both, we're going to do them for both the Blade and the Inspire.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. If anyone's listening to this and is close to South Carolina, we're going to be going to Frosty Dog.
Frosted Dog.
Yeah, so it'll be this not this weekend, but the following weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be there.
It's
just
like the 10th or the...
Yeah.
Something like that.
We'll be rolling in Saturday morning and then leaving Sunday afternoon. It won't be long, but I don't think Frosty Dog's more than a weekend anyway.
Yeah.
But going to meet up and talk with Pat Hartness and and have some fun, and then push on down south and meet up with Crafty Dan and hopefully get some good content.
Yep.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'd have to say, we'll jump into the interview here in a second, but I have to say, as far as like the QX3 mm-hmm. AP goes, even though like the DIY quad and that sort of thing appeals to me,
yeah,
and that sort of thing, I do have to say, like, as far as just like where like my skill level is and that sort of thing right now, that probably appeals to me most out of anything that's in the shop right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just like to being able to take, you know, take it up, get a nice video of your house, come back down, land, never feel like, you know, you're sweating it or yeah. like it was never feeling like there was a close call. You know, that for some reason that really appeals to me. And that's probably just because where my skill level where it's at, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, there's something to be said about turnkey solutions. Obviously, we champion the DIY mm-hmm. aspect because, I mean, that's what we're genuinely passionate about. But that's not to say that the turnkey out of the box quads don't have their place. And there's people out there, let's be honest, that, you know, aren't DIYers. They just yeah. want something that goes. They have the money to buy it.
Yep.
And I think both of these are good platforms for that. So look forward to the videos.
With yeah. very different price points. All right. Well, we got Daniel here on the line, so let's go over to that call. And actually, today we're not going to do any voicemails or anything after the interview. After the interview, we're just going to call it quits because we actually had Daniel do his signature sign off.
Yes.
For which us. Is our favorite part about his videos.
Yes. He has a great sign off for his YouTube channel, and I think we mentioned the episode. But if you go to youtube.com/rctestflight. You can get to all of his awesome, crazy, antics. Wacky antics videos. It does some
it's
great
stuff.
It's a great channel. Yeah, we enjoy it. If you would like to leave a voicemail for a future podcast that we can play on the air, you can go to speakpipe.com/flight test and leave us a voicemail there. We'd love to play it on the air.
If they'd like to hear interviews from other people, would that be where they'd want to put that suggestion as well, or where would you like them to do that?
If you want to leave a suggestion for who we should interview in the future, you can go to flighttest.com/podcasts and just click on today's podcast and leave us a comment. We read those comments, so we love hearing from you guys, and we really like doing interviews.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to be doing lots more of those. Last podcast was an interview, and I'm pretty sure next podcast is going to be an interview.
Really? So, who's coming up next after this?
I don't know. I'm just playing
you're just
somebody.
Making that up.
How are you so sure?
Actually,
you know what we should honestly do is we should get Josh Scott and just kind of give him people an update.
Oh, yeah, that would be awesome.
By the way, Josh Scott is still on the team. Just making that clear.
He's alive.
Josh yes. Josh is still around.
Yeah.
Just if you work at a church, basically Thanksgiving through the New Year is like the worst, you know, you're tied up.
He just did. We went to the Christmas concert he did. Wow. Blown away. I had no clue how much that guy does.
Yeah, he's a busy man, but
he's talented.
Yeah. Hopefully his schedule is going to be open up more,
yes.
And we're going to be able to be grabbing him more for episodes. So, okay, everyone, here is Daniel, RC Test Flight.
How are you, brother?
Pretty good. How are you?
Doing really good. Man, his voice is awesome.
Yeah.
So jealous.
Just let his voice go, guys.
No, I'm not going to let it go. Seriously, how do you do it?
I honestly don't think it's that great myself.
Well, no. Most normal people don't like the sound of their own voice. So,
and apparently, YouTube That's disagrees.
Very true.
Yeah, you know, you could be the next Mike Rowe with narration and everything,
or Morgan Freeman,
yes. Or Morgan Freeman,
Morgan Freeman,
yeah, the voice of God.
Mm-hmm. And those two things are the highest compliment that Josh can pay to anyone.
Yes. That so, and I loved your huge cargo. That was pretty awesome.
Oh yeah, thank you.
So how's it going, man? You're out in Utah, right?
Yep.
You guys well. Probably got nice sunny weather out there.
It's sunny right now, but the last couple of days we've just been getting nonstop snow. So it's about 2 feet on the ground now.
You're kidding me?
That's cool. That's crazy. So you're like in the mountains, right? Just judging based on your videos. What's it called?
It's called Park City. It's a pretty big ski town.
Oh, cool. Do you ski a lot?
Yeah, I do. I was out yesterday.
Nice.
And the snow was great. We had like a foot of fresh powder, but there's just not enough base right now. I hit so many rocks.
Oh, yeah.
I'll get you.
So as you fly, I noticed that a lot of your videos are at your college and then a lot of videos at your house.
Yeah, I'm stuck down in Salt Lake in a little house on the weekdays. On the weekends, I come up to my parents' house in Park City, and that's where I do all my building and stuff like that. But on the weekdays, I'm stuck in a little house down in Salt Lake City, and I do some filming down there when I can.
Nice. What are you going to college for?
Currently not declared as far as a major, but I'm kind of starting to do film. So
nice.
See how that goes. Mm-hmm.
That gives me a hint on why the cool picture with you holding the camera was there.
Yeah, your Google Plus picture. We were admiring the Google Plus profile picture.
Right on.
Very cool. So what are you working on now?
You know, I have a bad habit of starting way too many projects at once. So I've got a lot of things going on. Probably this next weekend I'll be releasing a video about like a quadcopter that carries 10 watt LEDs. So that's
You're doing that? Nice.
Insanely bright. So I can pretty much take that out at night and park it above anything and just kind of light it up like an artificial sun almost. So that's pretty cool for night pictures.
Have you ever seen those 100 watt chips? Those 100 watt LEDs?
I haven't, but I've wanted to look into those.
I bought some too to put on my truck. Those things are ridiculous. I had to make a water cooled heatsink for that. That might be on a couple airplanes too, on the big cargo plane. I might put 5 of those on there. Wow. So it would be 500 watts of LED.
You know, I could just picture you flying over a foam airplane and lighting it up and then melting the foam airplane out of the sky.
Hey, this thing would burn your hand. It was hot.
Wow. That's
crazy. I remember that. You had that at...
power that thing.
So. You need 33 volts at 3 amps.
Wow, that's impressive.
It was an eBay LED. It's like $7. You can get one.
You know,
yeah,
I think...
I'm definitely going to look into that.
For $7, you can replicate the surface of the sun. That's all it takes.
Yeah, I just realized we have two people here, Peter and Dan, who we're talking to, that honestly could put lasers on probably anything and take over the world.
Yeah, why not?
I would have hired him before I would have hired me, maybe.
No, our insurance policy wouldn't go up that
high, so. Actually, now that I think about it, I don't think we started this interview off properly. Yes. Typically what we do is we ask whoever we're interviewing, how'd you get in the hobby? How old were you when you started? And what got you into RC and, more importantly, RC flight?
Yeah, so I have kind of a strange addiction to like experimenting and toying around with physical concepts of all types. So pretty much just anything mechanical. I love like, you know, figuring out how things work and just messing with the mechanics of anything really. So when I was younger, I kind of got the urge to start building flying things and messing around with like lift and wings and aerodynamics. So, you know, I started, this was back when I was like 9 or 10, I started, you know, building gliders out of popsicle sticks and cardboard and pretty much anything I could find. And then eventually, you know, saw RC planes on the internet and bought a flight simulator and started learning with that. And once I got fairly proficient, I bought a Hobby Zone Super Cub. That was my first plane. And flew that thing like every day for a year and crashed it a million times and rebuilt it a million times.
That's awesome.
And once I kind of got bored of that, I bought a 3D Yak 55 kit from, I think, Hobby Lobby. And that came with all the electronics and everything you needed to fly. And I knew nothing about anything RC-wise at that time. So, you know, I just burnt out so many different parts and had motors spin up when they weren't supposed to and got several stitches and just destroyed so much gear. And just had no clue how to do any of this because I don't have anybody else up in my town that flies RC. So I pretty much had to look a while, but I eventually got that going and flew that probably only twice before I was tempted to take it apart and use all the electronics to just start scratch building. So ever since then, I've just probably built, I don't even know, probably around 200 planes, you know, just always trying new designs, new concepts, just constantly building really.
What's your favorite kind of flying to do?
I really like just any kind of flying where I can do lots of takeoffs and landings, and I really like nice twin engine planes with big wheels or skis that can land in the snow and just graceful flying. I also like to do FPV, of course. That's always fun.
Cool.
So what have you done with those Avroto motors since you flew that giant octocopter?
Unfortunately, not much. I took them off that octocopter, and now I have 4 of them on a kind of an interesting new quadcopter that I'm developing, and I'm going to start selling kits for that soon.
Nice.
It's
kind of a quadcopter with a front-mounted camera. So I've got... 4 of the motors on there, but I'm going to build up an X8 with 8 of the Avroto motors soon, and that'll be used to carry bigger cameras again.
Nice. Yeah, that's what Peter. We have a giant helicarrier. We haven't released an episode yet, but it's like from the Avengers, like the flying aircraft carrier. And we started with 4 of those Avrota motors, and it wasn't quite enough, so he turned it into an X8, and it's like this giant, like, what is it, 9 foot long?
Yeah, 9 foot long thing.
It's like a flying aircraft carrier made out of foam.
Yeah, I've seen that. That thing's insane. I want to see that fly.
I bought those motors because you showed them in your videos. That's the reason why I got those chose them.
Yeah, and actually,
he has some good stuff.
I know you touched on it earlier before we started recording, but you and Peter kind of have a little bit of a background. How'd you guys meet each other? How do you guys know of each other?
Yeah, I definitely will admit I kind of have a man crush on Peter.
I have a man crush on your videos.
Aw, you guys are cute.
We need saxophone music right now.
It's blossoming. I can feel it.
3 years of RC Test Flight is my favorite video from your channel.
Yeah, I've been watching your videos on foam and tape for forever. And your twin cargo planes gave me so much inspiration back in the day to build my cargo planes. And all your VTOL stuff is awesome. And you just have a lot of really cool videos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember the Cargo Condor. Yeah, we both came out with our cargo planes at roughly about the same time.
Yeah.
I remember that year. The year of the cargo planes. Now everyone's got cargo planes in their channel.
Yeah. I'd say your video was definitely way cooler than mine.
I'll just give you a chance to make one. You need to build another cargo condor.
You guys are both cool. Well, very cool. So what was your favorite project you've ever done? I know you've done a lot of them, but what did you enjoy the most that, it, you know, if you go back and do one over, you would?
Dang, that's a tough one. I really have a lot of fun with pretty much any plane where I can just take out over and over again and just smash and just get awesome shots with. So really all the mini quads are what I'm into right now. But my favorite project of all time is, that's so hard. I don't even think I can answer that. I like them all. I've had so many projects over the last, I don't even know how many years now, like 6 or 7 years, that it's so hard to pick one out.
Oh man.
It's understandable.
Yeah. I know that one of the favorite ones I saw when you were young is you had it. Basically, it was like a square box with a tail sticking out the back end and a wing, and I think you flew it out your bedroom window. is that right, or am I crazy?
Yeah. Yeah, I used to fly FPV out my window quite a bit, just kind of toss the plane out the window and then fly around the neighborhood. Those were good times.
Now that brings the next question. What did your parents think, and what did your neighbors think?
You know, parents, they just kind of go with it. I'm pretty fortunate. They're really relaxed about this stuff, and they let me fill the living room up with planes and just kind of turn the house into an airplane hangar. So that's always nice. And the neighbors, I don't even know what they think. They're probably kind of weirded out.
Call the terrorist watch list. Same time.
So they're a little too scared to do anything about it, is what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Well, we were watching the video of you flying that like crazy fast twin that you made, the little one, and that's when we were thinking, like, man, this guy's neighbors have just got to be like, what is this guy doing?
Well, that and the skateboard video too. When you your copter, you're pulling yourself down the street with a skateboard or with a big quadcopter. That was cool.
Yeah, I'm sure they have very mixed feelings about it. Definitely crashed on a lot of roofs around here, so.
Well, if we ever do an episode about etiquette on getting on someone else's roof, we know who to call.
Well, I'm looking at your YouTube page here, Daniel. It says that your channel joined in 2009. So when you started uploading videos, did you like have a master plan, or is there any master plan, or is this? Obviously, you said, you know, you're interested in video stuff, that sort of thing. Just how did it become what it is today?
Well, you know, back then, the biggest RC channel on YouTube was RC Powers, if you guys remember that. Mm-hmm. So that was really my inspiration. And I just kind of back then wanted to start something like RC Powers, where I had a good following of people, of fans that I could just make videos for. And that's really been the main focus. Through the years is just to kind of have a just to kind of have a big viewer base and make fun videos and have, you know, have people enjoy them. So that's really it. But now I'm starting to manufacture some products and sell those. So in the future, I'll hopefully be doing more of that stuff. But really, it just comes down to having fun with it and making cool videos.
Well, I'd say
success.
That's a success.
Much success. Very wow.
I see you have close to 40,000 subscribers and 10 million some views. I mean, that's
awesome.
It's a pretty successful channel. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, it's been going well through the years.
Do you have like a release schedule of like how often you try to put out a video, or is it just kind of when it happens, or?
Recently it's just kind of been when it happens. In the past, I've tried to do one every Saturday morning.
Okay.
So a video a week. But recently I've been really busy with school and other production projects. So it's kind of been more like a video every 2 weeks or a video every month, unfortunately, but hopefully I'll be able to spend more time doing RC, in the near future and get more videos out.
Nice. That's cool.
What's it like living where you live? I'd imagine that. What's the elevation there? Do you know offhand?
Yeah, I'm at 7,000 feet.
Oh, wow.
It's interesting flying around here because I can usually get away with, like on multi-rotors, I can usually get away with props like 2 inches bigger than anywhere else because the air is so much thinner up here. And honestly, like planes don't fly as well. I've gone down to sea level and taken some planes down there, and I'm just amazed at how much better they glide, and I like almost can't land them, and up here they just kind of sink down, and so the air density really makes a big difference. It's interesting.
I can imagine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 7,000, yeah. That's way up there. Way. What are we here?
We're about 1,000.
Yeah, we're 1062 in Alliance, so not very high at all. 1,062 feet. That's crazy.
I even take some of my planes and helicopters up to the tops of the mountains to do FPV flying and that sort of thing, and I can get up to like 10,000 up there, and it makes even more of a difference.
I noticed when we were watching some of your planes and everything, even watching, I think it was your really heavy twin when you were stalling it, it's like that doesn't even look like a normal stall. It looks like it's just someone sucked all the air and you put in a vacuum for a moment. And I guess that makes a lot of sense because you're so high up. You won't get a normal stall characteristic like we do.
Yeah, it's tough up here sometimes.
Very cool, very cool. So in the next year and stuff, are you going to be traveling around? Are you going to be going to any flying events?
I'd like to. I'm kind of stuck in school here, so it's hard to get out and go to events. I've honestly never really been to any flying events. I just kind of do my own thing up here, but I would really like to. It seems like a great time and a lot of fun to meet other people from the hobby. So hopefully in the future I will.
Well, very cool. I think I think a small group of us doing something with FT Extra or FT Connections will be coming up to Utah in April. It's at a college that we're going to be going to, but I got to find out which one. I forget the name right off the top of my head.
Okay.
I'm sure there's more than one in Utah.
Yeah,
probably a couple.
We should totally go blow something up.
It'd be really cool if you're close by to get to meet you guys.
Oh, yeah, I'm down with that, definitely.
And I'll bring Peter, otherwise he'll kill me.
Sweet.
Oh, wonderful.
So you mentioned, Daniel, that you were working on some products and that sort of thing. Do you mind sharing at all, like different stuff you're working on or what the plan is?
Yeah. So last year was my first year in college, and I was stuck in a dorm room where I couldn't do any building or anything like that. So I started just designing different RC parts on CAD software, and then realized I could have this stuff made in real life. So I started producing different carbon fiber parts, different 2D parts, and started with like vibration isolators for GoPro cameras and for bigger cameras if you use multiple of them. And now I'm selling, I'd say the best seller is the POV camera vibration isolator, which is just for sticking a GoPro on and then sticking that on your plane and getting rid of jet. I also have a large camera vibration isolator for DSLRs and gimbals. And then pretty soon I'm going to start selling mini quad kits for, I think it's 280 size mini quads. And this is basically designed to fit the GoPro in as small as a platform as possible. Mm-hmm. So it protects the GoPro, it completely fits the GoPro inside, but the motors are as close as possible together. So it's basically the smallest possible platform you can have lifting a GoPro. And then I'm also working on a really big vibration isolator for big cinema gimbals like the Movi. And that's meant to be mounted on cars, because I've had a lot of inquiries about my larger isolator, and people are asking if they can mount the Movi on it for like automotive shots. And I say, you know, no, that could never hold something that weighs 25 pounds. So I'm developing something for that application. I have a lot of friends in college that are engineers, so I'm working with them. So it should be interesting seeing what I come out with in the future, because I'm doing a lot more 3D manufacturing now and CNC cutting with aluminum parts and integrating those. So yeah, lots of stuff coming out.
That's awesome, man. That's pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah. Very cool.
What you mentioned the Movi and some of the cinematographic stuff. What kind of video work, or talk about your video hobby a little bit? What got you into video production and that kind of stuff?
Really, after I started doing RC videos, that's what really kind of got my interest in video production. And I also do a lot of photography and cinematography, so that's kind of, you know, gotten me to appreciate the art of filmmaking. And I've just kind of done various video jobs here and there. I haven't really done anything too big, but I've done some aerial video jobs, and hopefully in the future I'll be able to, one of my goals is to kind of start up a production company that specializes in kind of camera motion and the more technical side of filmmaking, like camera motion control and really unique, cool shots, like a lot of aerial stuff, a lot of gimbal stuff. So that's kind of where I'd like to take that.
That's cool. Sounds like you're going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed that you were mounting some pretty good sized cameras on different stuff. I mean, I think that's in some ways that's kind of uncharted territory. I mean, there's definitely some people out there doing that, but it's not common.
Yeah, definitely. I built up a big scratch built gimbal to carry my Sony FS700, which is a pretty heavy camera.
Mm-hmm.
And that went pretty well. So I usually don't really like to fly that camera because it's really, really heavy and kind of scary, to be honest. But yeah, in the future, I probably will fly that some more. So it'll be fun.
What's your feeling when you lift up? Because those cameras aren't cheap. When you lift that up, is it a borrowed camera, a rented camera? Yeah. Or is it your personal?
It is actually, and it's kind of scary. You have to have a lot of trust in your soldering and all your power systems and all that. But you know, I mean, there's some resiliency in an octocopter, but it's definitely a rush to do. Plus, that camera's not insured too, so I probably shouldn't be flying that one.
Have you had any mishaps? What's your best crash memory that you can think of?
You know, it's funny. I've got a folder on my hard drive called crashes, and I'm just saving up. I probably have 100 crashes in there by now.
That's awesome. We should start doing that.
Yeah, we should.
Recently, though, I just destroyed my Hero 3. So I have a Hero 4 on the way, and I got insurance on that, which is probably a good idea.
Insurance is good.
Yeah. Was that on that little the little mini quad, the Chinese mini quad?
No, actually, this was a Blackout 330. And I was flying along, and I hit a steel beam, probably going about 30 miles an hour. That'll smack dab in the straight of the camera, and I kind of scratched the lens. And the camera was actually fine, surprisingly. But then later on, I was flying along the top of this like 5-story building, and I don't know if it was my fault and I lowered the throttle too much, or if something went wrong on the helicopter, but it basically just dropped out of the sky onto concrete from like 5 stories up. So
how'd the 330 handle it?
There's no broken carbon, which is surprising. But the GoPro kind of broke apart, and I think I can fix it because I can get it to turn on, but the lens is shattered. So there's lots of obviously broken plastic standoffs and all that kind of thing, but yeah. It'll be rebuildable.
So. Yeah, Peter and I are building a couple of those too, so we're looking forward to that.
But they're a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Are you still doing more videos with Quinn?
Yeah, hopefully in the future. I haven't had her in any videos soon, and it might be kind of hard now because it's so cold.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to fly outside and to set up kind of complicated productions with like more than one plane and more than one camera, especially with doing it all myself. So in the spring, I'll definitely bring her on some more, but we might, maybe I'll set something up where we can fly from a heated car or something like that.
I love the part where you guys are flying from the car while driving down the road. Yeah, cameras like duct taped everywhere.
Yeah, I have to say that I know it's probably a little bit more work, but the fact that it's all like a one man show, and you know, you're setting up all the cameras, you have cameras, you know, taped and put on tripods all over, it kind of adds, it gives your videos kind of like its own personality, which is pretty cool. I really like that.
Thanks. Yeah, those are some interesting videos. I don't think I'll be doing any more of that car chasing.
It's probably a good idea.
A little sketchy, I'll be honest.
Actually, we were kind of doing something, I'm not sure how much I should admit to, but we were doing something similar to that today. We were.
Or we weren't,
depending on how you want to look at it.
It was on private property.
Yeah, you know, private property. Yeah,
I did mine on the road.
We buried the bodies. So.
You're allowed to be dumb on private property. I think that's the rules.
Yeah.
We were following a car. With a quad, but the pilot was sitting in like a like an ATV type thing, like side by side, and so there's a person driving the car, and then there's a quad flying over the car, and then there's an ATV driving in front of the car that had the pilot. So yeah, that gets that's pretty fun.
Flying, that's awesome. Flying inside cars is weird.
That soon?
Yeah, it'll be in a video.
Yeah, it's coming up. Probably sometime in January.
Cool.
So what's your favorite YouTube comment that you've gotten so far? That's a good one.
I don't know. I get so many. I don't know.
My favorite one from you was the one guy that asked you what would happen if you put wheels on the snow trainer or something? And then you commented, it would land on them, period. I read that in your voice. It was hilarious. It was top comment, too.
Yeah, I should probably stop replying to comments that way, but
at least it keeps it fun.
I find there's a common thing with Peter, it's puns, and apparently with Dan, it's really short and to the point, direct comments, you know?
I was definitely that way when I was younger, as a kid, growing up. Looking back at some of my really old videos, I just crack up because I was so funny back then. I just didn't really talk much, and I would just say just the weirdest stuff. I don't know.
I think it works in your favor, man.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I hope someday we'll all get to fly together. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I would enjoy that.
So what's your current FPV setup right now, Daniel?
Oh, which one?
I guess,
your favorite?
As I say, I guess pick one.
Well, I've got a Sweep Wings Behemoth, which is a big 60-inch flying wing with 9,000 milliamp hours, 4S batteries, and that cruises at like 60 miles an hour, so it can cover some serious distance, and I've got UHF on it and 2.4 gigahertz for video, so got a ton of range, and it's super fast and really fun to fly. But yeah, I don't know. I've got tons of FPV stuff set up. A lot of mini quads now. I kind of got addicted to those in the last couple months. So
yeah, they're a lot of fun.
And now I've got a mini quad set up for night flying. It's got two 10-watt LEDs on it, and a low-lux CCD camera with an onboard little recorder. So that'll be fun to fly around here at night with FPV and do some shots. I'm also wanting to take one of my twin cargo planes and put skis on it and kind of set it up for like backcountry FPV flying, where I can, you know, fly out to a mountain and do a landing on the top in the snow with skis and just kind of take off, kind of do like some, you know, backcountry type FPV flying. I haven't really seen that done anywhere on the internet yet, so that could be a fun project. But yeah, lots of FPV.
Yeah, it sounds cool. You definitely have a bit of an advantage with your location. I know a lot of times, even for us, it seems like the weather is more of a nuisance than anything. But for most people, you're probably so used to it because you grew up around it. But being around those mountains and stuff, that's pretty awesome stuff to see on camera. I think that also gives your videos a little unique kind of twist, is the setting that it's in.
Yeah, definitely. I've really grown to appreciate them and how beautiful it is. But you know, it also has a downside. There's also times when you'll walk outside to fly and within a minute your fingers won't even move, so it's so cold.
Yeah, we're familiar with that.
Besides temperature, I gotta imagine like weather can change really quick in those areas too, right?
Oh yeah, 1 minute it'll be completely sunny and the next it'll be like a blizzard. It's crazy.
Wow.
What do you think for yourself as you grow up? Do you think you're going to stick around that area, or do you have plans to make it somewhere else? Or
I really don't have any plans. I like to stay in the mountains. It's nice. I also like the beach, though. I actually grew up in the beach, and then I moved to the mountains when I was about 7 years old.
Oh, so wow.
I like both, but I definitely like to stay in the mountains. I love skiing and mountain biking.
Cool.
But really, I'll probably just end up going wherever the film jobs are.
Yeah, which I'd imagine they're pretty spread out. So you'd recommend living there?
Oh, yeah. Like it's great, especially if you like the snow.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, wonderful, wonderful. I want to thank you for taking time. I think, Peter, you've been dying to do a collaboration with him, haven't you?
Yeah, we should definitely do something with you.
I think you and Peter need to come up with something together, and then we need to find out how much insurance we have.
How much money can you give us? I need more money to do dumb stuff.
Well, cool. Do you have any questions for us, Daniel?
Not really any questions. I just love your guys' channel and all the videos. I really like the projects where you guys get creative, and you know, like the one where you had a multi-rotor delivering a multi-rotor delivering a multi. And I love all your air-to-air video you do with mini quads in like almost every video. It's great. So I'm just looking forward to seeing all your guys' stuff in the future.
Cool, man. Well, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Likewise.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you.
Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate you hopping on the call with us and just kind of shooting the breeze and talking about RC stuff.
Well, we can do it again.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
If people want to find out, you know, more about what you do and your channel, or do you have a website or anything people can go to? Or
probably their best bet would just to be to go to my YouTube channel, which is called RC Test Flight. Mm-hmm. It's pretty easy to find. I also have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/Stratus Productions. I'm going to try and start posting to there more often. Probably YouTube's the best bet.
Cool, man.
Cool.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you hopping on the call with us, and I'm sure we'll be talking in the future.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
All right, take care.
All right, take it easy, man.
See you, brother.
Talk to you later. See ya.
Bloop, 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 bloop. That was fun.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, I really appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah, no problem. My pleasure.
We got to get a sign off from him, too.
Oh yeah, we got to do that. Yeah.
Would you be willing to sign off the podcast for us like you sign off your videos?
Oh yeah. Thanks for watching. Bye. Or
you're just thanks for listening.
Bye.
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Nice. Yeah, we're definitely gonna be using that.
Thanks, dude.
Oh man, thank you. Yeah, what college do you go to before you go?
I go to the University of Utah.
Oh my gosh, that may be the one we're going to.
I feel like that's pretty straightforward. University
that's
of Utah.
Utah, right?
Where is that?
You know, call me crazy, but that may actually be the college that we're going to.
Well, do you know the name of the thing that we're going to?
It's a convention of some sort.
There actually is a drone class that started up this year. It's called Drones in Society.
Okay.
So I'm in that, and last semester we kind of did just a bunch of stuff about the legalities and the ethics of all the UAV, you know, news going on. But this next semester we'll be building quadcopters, so that'll be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Wow, this sounds. And I don't mean to be ignorant about where the college is at, but is it pretty close to all those pretty awesome canyons? I know Utah.
Yeah, it's in Salt Lake City, so that's about 30 minutes from Park City, where I live.
Yeah, it's possible we may be seeing you in April. The six of us are going to be going up to, we're doing this FT Connections where there's going to be some educational aspects, but a college invited us down to talk about that. So, it'd be awesome. If we're going to be there, we'll definitely have to meet with you. And I'll spring for a ticket for Peter.
I'll bury you, Josh. I know where you work. I know where you live.
Peter will be like, I'm Josh Bixler. Let me on the plane.
Hello, friend, brother.
Now we got to put all this in the podcast too.
I'm sure we'll work it in.
It'll be
somehow.
The after the interview podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we've done that before.
Yay, bonus content.
We have. All right. Well, man, look forward to talking to you again. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. See you guys later.
Thanks, man. Take it easy.
Take care, man. Bye.
Thanks for listening. Bye.